Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning and welcome to our service here at Gaiman. I invite you to turn in the Mennonite hymnal to number 310. And I would ask you to stand, please, for this song. Come thou fount of every blessing.
The ushers come forward for the morning offering. Maybe just a thought, as I was getting up this morning, I had a chance to sit outside and my road is shut down, so it was really peaceful. It was really nice. And I got a chance to watch these two turtle doves just kind of working at building a nest or whatever, and I just thought of the topic for today is hope, and I had to think of creation too and how God loves each one of us, and it's kind of a reminder of what this morning. So let's pray for the offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again that we have the opportunity to come here and gather here and worship you, lift you up. I just pray for each of us to be reminded every day of the hope that we have in you and what you have done for us. I pray that you bless this offering this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
going to have our sharing time at this time. If there's anything you'd like to share or praises or requests, you can raise your hand and they'll bring a mic around to you. Just a couple reminders in the way of announcements. Next Sunday we will be at Woodcrest at 10 o'clock. There's a note about that in the bulletin. What things would you like to share?
This is Todd. Just asking for your prayers. The youth group leaves for our mission trip next Sunday to Kentucky, so keep us in your prayers for traveling and as we're down there serving the people there. Thank you.
This is James, and one of my observations is that as a congregation, we're very free in sharing a request for physical needs, operations, healings, all that, and that's good and right. But sometimes we ought to be expressing our thanks when things go well. Betty had a medical examination and had flying colors, no change in meds, everything is good. Maya had her physical too, and so we're just grateful today for good physical health, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
This is Darla. As most of you are aware, Lester's brother Carl suffers from schizophrenia, and July 4th weekend he had actually escaped from Warnersville, and for about 32 hours we weren't sure where he was. We're thankful he is back and he was okay. He is not doing nearly as well this time. He's been hospitalized since January and things still aren't looking good. So if we could continue to pray for Carl and his family, that would be great.
Next Sunday at Woodcrest, Lydia Musselman will be sharing about her trip to the Middle East as a portion of that. So you can be praying for her. Next Sunday, we also start the Backyard Kids Club, the Bible school in Adamstown. I welcome your prayers for that. I also learned today that Josiah Souter will be planning to go to South Dakota, was it, with an MDS trip in August. So you can be praying for him. Okay, please come to prayer with me. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you, Lord, that you know every aspect of our lives individually and as a church family. Lord, we do come before you on behalf of these things. We pray that you bless our service at Woodcrest next week. We pray for Lydia as she shares about her trip to the Middle East and the impact that has had on her and how that relates to us. I pray for the Backyard Kids Club and the opportunity to, in a fun way, share your word with children in our community. I pray that you would bless that for your kingdom. Thank you for the youth as they prepare to go to Kentucky and serve. I pray that you would bless them and those that they will be helping and ministering to. I pray that that would just be a great trip. Thank you for Josiah Souter and calling him to serve through MDS in South Dakota. I pray that you would bless him and those that he goes with and those that they serve. Thank you, Lord, for Jim and Betty's report of just good health, and we sometimes are quick to complain or to just worry about when things go wrong and maybe slower to give you praise and thanks when we're doing well. So God, we do praise you for the gift of our health. We pray for Lester's brother Carl and his family. We pray, Lord, that you would help him. God, there's a lot I don't understand about his needs and problem there. I pray that you would help to bring breakthrough in his life. What he is unable to make decisions about, I pray that you would help him to make good choices. Where he needs help from others, I pray that that would be provided in a good and appropriate and God-honoring way. We ask in Jesus' name. And Father, today as we worship you together and as we hear from Rod Redkay and the Ministry of Real Life Community Services, I pray that you bless him and speak through him and use him in that ministry in our region for your kingdom. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Children's church today, so if you're involved in that, you're welcome to be dismissed at this time. And Rod, I'll invite you to come forward. And Rod Redke is not a stranger to us here. Most of you are familiar with him and his work. A few things you might not know about Rod are Rod is a soccer player, a basketball player. I get to interact with him a little bit.
To keep up with this guy.
In those ways. Today is his birthday. 29?
Yes.
Yeah. How old are you?
29 plus 17, okay. I think it is. So 46 today, right? Is that right? 46, yes.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rod. Happy birthday to you.
Stop. Yay. Thank you. You guys can have to do that. Thank you very much.
What political role does Rod hold in our community? He's the mayor of Denver, if you didn't know that. Yes. Yeah. So, different ones of us as believers respond to God's call in different ways. Some of us in political realms sit back and maybe pray. Rod has stepped up and felt called to be involved. Sometimes I connect with Rod at the ministerium also, and there's a lot of things that Real has, and he'll talk about that, things that have changed, and sometimes I think, wow, Rod, you're doing something else, new and different, and I'm not sure how he's involved in the high school. So I think I've said enough. Maybe I'll offer a quick prayer for you.
Yeah, please.
Father, we thank you again this morning. We give you praise. We are here because of Jesus Christ, and it's on Christ, the rock, solid rock, we stand. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the way that you use believers in our community, in our region, to point others to you, and I thank you for the ministry of Real, and I pray that you would bless Rod as he shares and make him a blessing. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Jesus.
And I just want to also just say that I feel like this is important for us to recognize things and ways that God is working in our community, to be aware of it, to be praying for it, and to be involved.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Phil. Wow, thank you all. It's a little hot. On the mic. You can turn it down just a little bit. Thank you. I feel like I'm echoing here. It's an honor to be back here with you all this morning. It has been a few years since I've been here to share, and there's a few things have changed, as Phil had mentioned, since I was with you last, and I think I'll give an update along with the message I have for you this morning. There we are. Real Life Community Services. Thought I'd just say a few words quickly about this machine not working. Oh, I have it upside down. Look at that. How about that? So just give you a heads up, like, you know, who I am and what we're doing if you haven't seen me or talked to me lately. This is my family behind me. Sunny, my wife, is here with us this morning, and she works as the marketing director at Refreshing Mountain Camp, so many of you might have enjoyed that camp and seen and talked with her. And I get up there from time to time as well, so I enjoy my my hobbies, I think, is to get outside, and I love to be outside. And when Sunny took over at Refreshing Mountain Camp, she said, hey, why don't you come and help us? So I'm also, on everything else that I do, I'm also a zipline canopy tour guide. So if any of you would like to a tour with me, let me know, and I can get something set up for you. It's a lot of fun being outside. It's a lot of fun being up in the trees. How many of you guys have ever been ziplined at Refreshing Mountain? Any of you? Yeah, a couple of you. Young people? No? 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 Okay, come on. So it's really fun. But also, two daughters, they are not here. They are at our home church, Dove Westgate Church, this morning. Ashley is 21, and she is finishing up one more semester at Karen University. Go Karen, right? Yeah. And she'll be graduating with a master's in education, a major in Bible, and a minor in history. And our youngest daughter, Robin, she's 14, and she loves to sing and read, and she's a straight-A student as well and loves archery as a hobby. If you haven't figured it out, I married up, okay? My wife has 2 degrees, Spanish and international business degrees. She lived on 3 different continents in her lifetime. So I haven't lived more than a year outside of Lancaster County. So I did marry up, and I think most of us, you know, can say we married up. In fact, if you could, you know, husbands, look at your wives in the eyes, just glaze in her eyes, and say, you know, I married up. Yeah, and wives, turn back to your husband, look back at them, and say, I know you did. This morning's message is Real Hope in Christ. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, and let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, and for being real in our lives. Father, showing us how much you love us and how much you care for us. Lord, giving us hope each and every day as we take up our cross and follow you. God, I just pray that you be here in our presence. Lord, send your Holy Spirit just to minister to us this morning. God, I just pray that the words I share will bring honor and glory to you, and there'll be words that you have for each person here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I spoke to you about 6 years ago. If any of you guys remember, I talked a lot about youth culture and the struggles that youth have. And unfortunately, over the last 6 years, those struggles haven't gotten much better, actually. If you look into culture today and what we have, the staggering statistics, it's unfortunate, but in 1963 there was a survey. A divorced person head of the household was just 3.5%. As you can see today, that is a staggering 28% of children live in a single parent household. Crazy, I know. And also, back in the 60s, the illegitimacy rate ratio among whites was only 3%, about where it had to be throughout most of the century. And recently, today, U.S. birth rate for unmarried women is 40%. Wow. Think about that. 40% of children being born into a single-parent household. The U.S. fails in graduation rates 30% of high school seniors each year fail to graduate. The stunning number is that in the inner cities, it's almost 70% of our seniors fail to graduate. Less than 2% of moms, teen moms, even get a high school diploma. You can understand with these statistics, it's very difficult. You know, when I was here 6 years ago and was sharing with you my excitement to start this adventure to reach out to young people, I had no idea what I was getting myself into, and did not believe how much poverty there is right here in northern Lancaster County. Talking with our superintendent, Dr. Ellen Musser, she had given some amazing statistics. Here in Cocalico School District, 36% of middle school students were receiving free reduced lunches. And there were over 20 children that were homeless here. Not in the big cities, not in Ephrata, not in Columbia, right here in northern Lancaster County, right here in the Cocalico School District. There is some serious poverty here. Ladies and gentlemen, something has got to happen. We cannot allow these statistics to continue. But you say, Rod, where's the hope? Right? Where's the hope? You're telling us, give us hope here, and all you get is give us these statistics, and they're depressing. It's like, where's the hope? I thought this was supposed to be an encouraging message, not one that was just down to the press. Well, you know, Friday night, things were looking depressing. But Sundays are coming. You know, there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope for our community. There is hope for our future. Isaiah 40, verse 25 through 31. And this is God speaking to King Hezekiah after, isn't there a story, King Hezekiah, he was on his deathbed and he cried out to God, said, give me more, and God said, give you 15 more years, and things didn't go much better over those 15 years, really. He actually was the king who, invited the Babylonians in to, see his kingdom, to see his palace and see all the gold and all the jewels and everything that he had in the temple and in his palace. And that was the start of the Babylonians looking like, hey, this guy's got a lot of riches. And Isaiah was prophesying, said, you know what, they're going to take over your country and they're going to take everything you have and they're going to take it back to Babylon. And King Hezekiah is like, no, come on, that's not going to happen. And he had this conversation with God, and here's God speaking to him in verse 25. He says, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, how many of you guys know that last verse a little differently? It says, in the NIV, it says, they that hope in the Lord. You know, the King James and most other translations have the word wait. Remember, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength, right? They that wait. I like the NIV version a little better because it's more than just wait, right? The word that is there for wait is kava. Kava means to wait, to look for, hope, or expect. Right? How many of you have ever experienced a trust fall? You ever do that? Camp? Come on, kids. Come on. There you go. Right? Okay, I got that, right? You're supposed to like hold your and just like fall back, right? And the people behind you are supposed to catch you, right? And how many of you would say, you know what? I'm just gonna wait. I'm gonna wait on the Lord for this one, okay? I'm not gonna do it. God's just gonna miraculously cause me to get down. No. Or, you know, how many of you guys have ever waited in a traffic jam? Right? I know this isn't Los Angeles or New York City, but I've been to New York City, I've been to Washington, D.C., I've been to Baltimore, and I can't handle it. Thank God we live in Northern Lancaster County. But it's getting busy around here, too. How many of you guys ready to move to, like, Wyoming? All right. That's not what we're talking about here. Kava, wait, is more than just simply, okay, waiting in a traffic jam, you know, waiting for something to happen. And it's more than just hope. I hope I win the lottery. I didn't buy a ticket, but I hope I can win the lottery, you know. It's not that necessarily that kind of hope either. It's beyond that. It's going to an expectation of something. It's looking for something to happen, right? Now, it's like stepping off a cliff and hoping that God will catch you, right? Now, I'm not telling you to go jump off a cliff, okay, Lydia? I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying, I mean, it's that trust factor. Can I tell you a story real quick? Can I tell you a story? A couple years ago, I took a group of young people to the country of Guyana, South America. We went down there to visit schools to bring them hope of Jesus Christ to a country that has the highest suicide rate in the world. And we were visiting schools there, and it was amazing opportunity. It was just like out of a National Geographic magazine when we were taking boat rides down the river and monkeys were jumping in trees overhead. It was unbelievable. But when at the end of the trip, we had such a great time. We took the young people, we flew a plane 90 minutes into the bush, and we landed next to Kotor Falls. Kotor Falls is the world's tallest single drop waterfall. It's 741 feet straight down. And we got a chance to tour the falls, and the crazy thing is that it's a third world country. They don't have railings like we do at Niagara Falls. They just have this sign that's staked there that says, please stay 8 feet away from the edge. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. So it was dry season, and so you could literally walk out towards the middle of the river, and you can jump over the water and onto another rock, and you can stand out there. And you look down, and about 8 feet below you, there's a ledge that's about 6 feet wide. And I was the only one that had the guts to jump down onto that ledge. See the red dot? Maybe you don't. There. Right there. Let's zoom in a little bit. See that ledge right there? Right down from the top. Yeah, right there I was. Standing right in the ledge. You could literally walk right up to the ledge, put your feet there, and look straight down 741 feet. Now, that was not the time to get dizzy. And it was breathtaking. It was exhilarating. Adrenaline to the max. And then I thought, how do I get back up? All right, so I'm here, right? So we know I did, all right? But that's a story for another day. That's talking about faith, I think. Okay. Now, again, I'm not saying to go jump off a cliff. I'm not saying, Rod told me we should go jump off a cliff, and God's going to catch us, right? That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, Take a leap of faith. Can you? In your life, take a chance. Trust God. Do you know the voice of God? Do you know what the voice of God sounds like? How many of you guys say, yeah, I know, I've heard the voice of God, and I can really honestly say that's what I recognize his voice. You know, John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Learn to hear the voice of God. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you right now. He speaks to you each and every day. The question is, are your ears able to listen? And I learned about 6 years ago, again, I told you what God had planned for me. And if you would have told me then what I'd be doing now, I'd be like, you're crazy. No way. And I'd be running 180 degrees the opposite way. I'm not going to do it. Isn't that why God doesn't always tell us the future? Because he doesn't want us to freak out and say, oh my word, no! And run away. Kind of like Jonah did, you know? He's like, wait a minute, nah, it doesn't work. Now, let's take one step at a time. And that's generally how God does it for me. And opening one door in my life, as I walk through, he opens up another door. So how many of you guys here would like to live an adventure? How many of you would love to say, get me out there, you know? And it's not just for the young people either, right? For the older generation, you're still alive, right? What does that mean? God's not done with you yet, right? God wants us to live an adventure. He wants us to hope. He wants us to wait on him. Hope, look forward to, expecting him to move. It's an action word. It's a verb. It's an action word. It's not idle rest, right? So I took this leap of faith. I jumped out 2 months after I spoke here in 2011. I quit my job at Barry's Paint Shop. I quit my career and started this nonprofit from scratch. Again, I don't recommend it if God did not speak. But it was amazing what God was able to do. I started full-time in September 2011. I started hanging out with students. I wanted to get involved. I didn't have a place of my own, so I started fifth quarter parties after the home football games. Many of you guys might remember us throwing footballs out and kids coming out after the games. Campus ministry at the high school, AFO. Yeah. Shout out, Lydia. Remember those days? Long gone. Yeah, Bethany. Yeah, long gone, right? Great time, though. Wednesday morning Bible studies. We have campus ministry at school. We have a Momentum, which is a faith-based leg to the Beat'em Club, bringing awareness to depression, suicide, and teens. There we are. Lydia, where are you? You're in the front somewhere, aren't you? Front middle. There you are. I thought you'd see you there. Amazing time with students, but, you know, that wasn't it. I served a lot with other ministries like Crossfire Youth Ministry, TNT Youth Center. It was fantastic to see what God was doing through those organizations and still does to this day. 2013, Relief Ministry partnered with the Power Packs Project in Lancaster. We started feeding families in need. We gave them a couple bags of groceries each and every week, about 20, 30 pounds of food. We give them each and every week with ingredients to make a hot meal and also some staple items, some milk, eggs, some produce, peanut butter, cereal. You see those type of things. Those are the packs look like right there. And it was great. And to this day, you know, we are now serving about 50 families each and every week during school. Over 100 children are getting food each and every week. And it's all because someone decided to take a leap of faith. Also, in 2013, God told me to run for mayor. I don't know why. Like, you know, again, I hear the voice of God, and I say, okay. You know, I walk through this open door, and it's open. And I've learned to walk through open doors. There's been prophecies over me that I walk through open doors and don't walk through closed ones. You bump your nose, no fun. And I learned, okay, I'm not going to push the door down. I'm not going to find a window. That's not what I do. I just walk through an open door and wait for God to open the next. And again, waiting expectantly. It's not an idle wait. It's not standing there or sitting down watching reruns of Gilligan's Island. It's an old TV show. Don't worry about it. And waiting for God. No, it's out there getting involved where God is at work and moving and believing that He has something in store for you. I have the great opportunity to be the mayor of Denver for the last 4 years, and it's been an honor and a privilege to be a servant leader in our community. And I have the opportunity to unashamedly open our borough council meetings with prayer publicly and ending in Jesus' name. There's not too many other municipalities that do that anymore. And as long as I am mayor, we will always open our council with prayer. Because it's that important. Because God is the author of our lives and the director of our lives and our communities. I'm up for re-election. God didn't send me another direction, so He said, yeah, just go again, you know, run again. So I ran unopposed. So I spent 2 terms on borough council as a borough council member, ran unopposed. I was asked to be the Republican committee man of Denver. I said, why not? It's an open door. I ran unopposed. I ran for mayor unopposed. I'm rerunning for mayor again unopposed. I'm ready for, I think, governor. I think I might have a chance. I'm kidding. Again, God is an amazing God. And if you are open to hearing His voice and believe that He will protect you and He will guide you, He will do amazing things in your life. 2014, we were given this church. The Denver Bible Church gave us the building. We were blessed. Again, it's another God moment in our lives. And in our ministry, it's a 2,000 square foot church and a 1,000 square foot, there's the church, 1,000 square foot, two-story, two-bedroom apartment, or house actually, right next door. So we converted the church building into a youth center, and we call it the Lighthouse Youth Center. There it is. And believing, again, another prophetic moment of being the light to our community. There's some of the kids that come out. We do every Monday and Tuesday nights. We range anywhere from 25 to 35 kids every week. It's been incredible. And then we also have this two-bedroom, two-story apartment next door. What do you do with that? God gave us a vision just to connect with the Good Samaritan shelter in Ephrata, and talked to my good friend Nate Hoffer, great man, and I said, look, we have this house. Would you be interested in having it like as a transitional home for moms coming out of the shelter? And he was like, absolutely, it's exactly what we need. We've had moms living here in the shelter for over a year. Our focus is just 3 to 6 months of emergency care. So we just opened that up. We have a director, again, another God moment I won't have the time to share, but connected with us, Sandy Thorpe. She basically is a counselor or a mentor at the Good Samaritan shelter, and she vets the moms. She finds a mom that's ready to go with her children, and we move them into the house, and she gives them an extra year of care, mentoring them, helping them with finances, helping them with child rearing, cooking, whatever the mom needs to get back on her feet again and learn how to be self-sustaining. And we've graduated 2 moms so far, and it's been an incredible experience. This last mom graduated back in April, And a week later, she got married to her new husband, and her two children now have a new father. It's been amazing. We now just had our third mom move in just this week with a new heating system, central air in the building, because, again, of generous people in our community giving us and donating us that equipment and the labor to install it. Now, we were just a youth ministry, and, you know, getting a transitional home for moms and power packs, that's really not really youth ministry, although it really is. But we decided, you know, our focus was not all that we're doing. Our name, Real Youth Ministry, and our mission was not all that we were doing. And we saw an opportunity that we were transforming our organization into something bigger. And so we changed the name to Real Life Community Services, changed our mission statement to connecting the community to, hope. Now you get the idea, okay? And our core values are purposeful relationships centered on Christ. It has to be centered on Christ. And mobilizing resources for those who are in need. We then hired our first employee, Chris Hibbert, as our social worker. She works part-time right now helping families who are in need, connecting with resources that are available. And this is all great, but word on the street was, you know, Rod, who in their right mind would drop their kids off at a youth center right across the street from that thing, the Denver House? For those of you who don't know what the Denver House is, you've not been in Denver or around here, you know, it doesn't take long to catch it. But the Denver House was a 22-unit hotel bar where 20 units shared three bathrooms. Yeah, boarding house. And it became the most blighted property in town over the last 30 years, especially the last 10. The previous owners ran it into the ground. They stopped paying the mortgage. They stopped paying the taxes. They stopped paying all the utilities and upkeep of the property. You can imagine how quickly a building like that would become in disrepair. I cannot explain to you in words the deplorable living conditions that these people living there were in. Nothing anyone should have to deal with. A friend of mine said, Rod, you should do something about that place. You should get your prayer warriors together and start praying for the Denver House. I believe in the power of prayer. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? I believe that there is no doubt about it that there's a God in heaven who listens to our prayers, who answers them. We started praying January 2015. In March, we were down on our mission trip. The Denver House bar closed. Too much after we started praying. I called the owner. I said, what's going on? After I got back, he says, yeah. He says, we've had so many liquor law infractions and fines. I'm not paying the fines. I'm not renewing the license. As long as I own this building, it'll never be a bar again. 2 months. Why didn't we start praying earlier? I don't know. This is something that got me thinking. What else do I need to pray for? But this is how God works. And I asked him, I said, are you willing to sell the building? He says, absolutely. Unbeknownst to us, is already up in foreclosure. And they still operated the boarding house. But we started working with the bank. And in 2016, we took ownership. We partnered with LHOP, Lancaster Housing Opportunity Partnership. And going through the proceedings of purchasing the property. In October of last year, we bought the place, and cleanup needed to happen. I told you it was the worst blighted property in town. I wasn't kidding. We got in there. This is the bar. That's a wooden bar that's beautiful, 21 feet long, but you couldn't tell with all the debris, and that was probably one of the better rooms that we had in the place. We had to clean up, so we got on social media, and we got the word out, said we need help. And over the next 5 months, we had almost 250 volunteers give almost 2,000 hours of their time to remove 26 containers full Those are the big ones, the 8-foot-tall, 30-yard containers of debris and garbage. You see, once you stop paying the utilities and the trash, they stop picking it up. So where do you go with it? In the basements, in the attic, in your rooms? We bought in October 28, we bought a turnkey operation hotel bar. No, it wasn't real exciting to me either. Everything was still operating. The refrigerators and freezers were full. All the equipment was there. Just to go through the building a little bit, that was the kitchen that we got. It looked just like you see there. That was the bedroom. That was one of the cleaner ones. That was probably the worst. That we call the cat room. We had to obviously don Tyvek suits at times because it was so incredibly infested with cockroaches and bed bugs. We had a barn out back that you could push over with your hands, almost, and we got all these great volunteers to come in and just help clean up, and they're all dirty, you see. We had a mess. We got rid of all the plaster. We got rid of everything. We gutted the entire building down to the bare studs and floors. And you say, why would you do that? Well, because God said so. But that's why. Because God gave us a vision to turn the Denver house into the Declaration House. A declaration of God to our community. LHOP, Lancaster Housing Opportunity Partnership, helped us acquire the property. They gave us a pre-development loan. We hired a architect who came up with this rendition of the new Declaration House, bringing back its rich history like it was built 150 years ago. When in this building, we're going to have 10 full apartments upstairs, each apartment having its own bathroom, its own kitchen, and a bedroom or two. On the first floor, we're going to have our social service office, real life community services office. Chris Hibbert will be there, our social worker will be there every day, meeting with families and individuals who are in need, being a hub of resources in our community for the first time ever. We will have also partner with Welsh Mountain Health Centers, who provide medical care, dental care, and behavioral health counseling. All three healthcare needs we have in our community. I'll leave you with this, because I could go on and on. But right now, God wants you to take a leap of faith. God wants you to step out of your comfort zone and be willing to hear His voice and obey. Was I scared? Am I scared? It's a $2 million project. I don't have $2 million in my back pocket. I know God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I could use your help to find a couple. Okay. But God was clear, and God spoke clearly and confirmed it again and again and again. It's not one person. It's a community. It's God's community banding together to say, enough is enough. We're not going to settle for the statistics anymore. We're not going to settle for mediocrity. We're not going to settle for poverty. We're not going to settle for 22 children homeless in our community. There is a better way. God has a plan, but He needs you. I can't do it all. Please understand, I'm not up here sharing with you all that Rod has done. And I do not want you to go home and tell your family and friends and neighbors, wow, Rod has done amazing things. I haven't done anything but obey what God has told me to do. He has orchestrated it all. He just found a willing servant who said, yeah, why not? take a risk, take a leap of faith, quit my job. I think it was a midlife crisis. I don't know. But God was clear. And when God is clear and He clearly speaks to you, is it scary? Yeah. But I want to be honest. Looking back, 6 years ago when I handed my resignation to my employer, the one who gave me the resources to provide for a house and food and cars and all that, say I'm done. Looking back, God took care of every single need. So, next year, or two, when we look back, what are we going to say? God took care of every single need. But He needs your help. You see, by the words of Marianne Williamson, if you're feeling like you don't know where to start, if you feel like, yeah, I know that God is real and that He wants me to do some things, but I'm afraid, I get that. If you feel a little bit about Job and you say, look, I stepped out in faith, and now look at my life, I know what you're feeling. Been there too. But listen to these words of Marianne Williamson, who writes, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's the light, not the darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking back so other people won't feel insecure around you. We are meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as you let your light shine, you unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fears, His presence, our presence automatically liberates others. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You for being our God. Thank You for being there each and every step of our lives. As we look back and wonder why, we can see the reason why You've helped us through and how You helped us through those difficult times of our lives. As we stepped out in faith, You were there each and every step. God, I just pray right now that You will just fill us up with more of You and Your Holy Spirit as we take these words today and we look at our own lives and we say, God, what do You have for me today? God, I just pray, Lord, that You will be clear, that You will open up our ears, open up our spiritual ears to hear Your voice. Give us the courage to step out in faith, believing that You will catch us. Lord God, we pray for Cocalico. We pray for those families who are struggling, who are in desperate need of You. God, we just pray, Lord, that You will just direct them to this church, direct them to those in our community who care, who can get them the help they need, so we can eliminate the poverty, so we can eliminate the homelessness, so we can eliminate the spiritual struggles that so many have. You're amazing, God, Lord. I thank You for this time. Thank You for this church. Thank You for what You're doing in this church and through it. Lord, You're truly leaving a legacy for this church in this community of Adamstown at this time. We just pray these words in Your name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to leave you with this. Step out in faith. I dare you to move. Thank you.
invite you to turn to number 358 in the Mennonite hymnal. So I heard the theme of obedience pretty often in what Rod shared, and consecrating, offering all parts of our lives to Him. Take my life and let it be.
I invite you to stand for a closing benediction. I'm reading from Isaiah 40. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. Go in peace.